Been a number of questions have been posed about the concept of the new heavens and the new earth. And this came up again in our daily Bible reading as Isaiah 65 and 17 was read. And also in Isaiah 66 and 22, or as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make will remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your descendants and your name remain. Here the reference, of course, in context, is to the Babylonian captivity and being restored therefrom. But it is also mentioned in 2 Peter 3:13 and Revelation 21 and verse 1. And we want to know how it relates to us in those passages today. Now, let's look together at the passages. We'll look first of all at 2 Peter 3:13. Nevertheless, according to his promise, we look for a new heavens and a new earth in which dwells righteousness. And then Revelation 21, verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Now, of course, most of us know that the Jehovah's Witnesses, among others, are quite materially minded. And what they see in this is an earth that will be cleaned up, that one that we now live on will be cleaned up, and then we'll live on this earth forever. And in support of this contention, they turn to Psalm 37:29. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. Now, their version, which, you know, they have their own version, their version has earth for the word land. And what they contend is that this teaches that the righteous will live on the earth forever. Now, the 37th Psalm was written by David as a consoling ode for the captives in Babylon who might be tempted to turn back or turn to idolatry and seeing that their captors prospered in such a vain worship. But David's divine purpose was to encourage them with the promise of speedy delivery, and that from their captors. From the second verse, that's Psalm 37, we see that he is assuring them of the demise of their captors. And then in verse 3, he says that if they will trust in the Lord, they will indeed dwell in the land. Now, the word land here comes from the Hebrew eretz, which means from an unused root, the earth at large, or partively a land. And in Hebristic idioms, it is commonly used to refer to a country, the earth, a field, a ground, or a land. Excuse me. And that's how we see it used here. Now notice, it is translated 140 times as country, 450 times as earth, and one time as field, 96 times as ground, and over 1,450 times as land. That, of course, is what the translators chose. The same word occurs in... in verses 3 and 29 and 34 of Psalm 37. Now, you'll notice in Deuteronomy chapter 9 and verse 28, same word is found in connection with the word promise. Now, this is correct to conclude that the Hebrews were familiar with a land which was promised to them. Now, getting back to Psalm 37 in the process of getting to verse 9, David assures them that if they will commit their way unto the Lord and trust Him, verse 5, and stop fretting because of those who are wicked and prospering, that they will indeed inherit the earth or land. And beginning with verse 10, beginning at verse 10, we see a prophecy of the destruction of Babylon. At the time this was written, it was in great splendor, and the captives lived to see it totally, totally overthrown by Cyrus and the Medo-Persians, and so even its foundations were lost into oblivion. In verse 11, interesting situation, we have the concept of the meek inheriting the land. And this word meek literally means depressed. The depressed in mind or circumstance. And within this setting, in the setting of the context, there can be no doubt that it expresses the feeling of the oppressed Jewish captives. They were indeed depressed in mind and circumstance and so forth. The land that they were to receive was the one promised to their fathers as an inheritance. In verses 12 through 15, we find the scripture here pointing to the ultimate destruction of Babylon. Then in verse 18, David says, the inheritance of the upright shall be forever. Now, whenever we see this word forever, we generally assume that means forever. But the Hebrew word that is used here means concealed, the vanishing point, or generally time out of mind, either past or future.